Good morning. Welcome to Slough's very first online service. So this morning we are going to be talking about, or we're going to start talking about Haggai. Now, Haggai was a prophet of God. The story talks about a time when the people had been allowed back into their land after many years of war and being expelled from their land. Their city and their temple had been destroyed about 70 years earlier by the Babylonians. So the people had come back and they'd started rebuilding their lives, and they were working on building their own houses, setting up their businesses, working for others, creating their families. And of course, the more time goes on, that busyness of life keeps that routine going. And they put off building the temple of God. And they say, it's not the right time at the moment. They focus on what their needs are and what their wants are. They work all day, so of course they come home and they're tired and they want to rest with their family and chill out. So the Lord sends Haggai to them to say, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your panelled houses and for my temple to lay in ruins? Consider carefully your ways. You sow much and bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You buy your clothes, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put him in a bag with holes. So the people really took this to heart. They really listened to Haggai, and they obeyed, and they started building the temple. So the Lord was pleased, and he said, be strong, all you people, and work, for I am with you. My spirit remains among you, so don't be afraid. So as their focus moved back to putting God first, they moved from working really hard, being tired and with not much to show for it, to flourishing and prospering because their heart and their soul was put back into putting God first. They began to see God's provision and his blessing. Matthew 6:25 onwards says, do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries of its own. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what to put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Which of you can, by worrying, add an extra day to his life? James 1:3 in the Message translation says, consider it sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and it shows your true colours. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what to pray to the Father, just pray. He loves to help, and you'll get his help when you ask. Ask boldly, believing without a second thought, without any doubt. You know, James actually spent so much time praying on his knees that he developed calluses, and they gave him a nickname. Maybe that's how he could offer such wisdom, by spending so much time praying to the Lord, being in his presence, asking what the Lord wanted in his life. He put God first. It can be really difficult to not worry when we're going through hard times, and now especially with so many things around us that we thought we could rely on only 2-3 weeks ago. Our world is really being shaken. Our thoughts are being turned upside down. We're seeing jobs that people used to look down on, some thinking, no, they're worthless, they're not good, they're the basic jobs, such as hospital cleaners, carers, bin men, shop assistants, delivery drivers, postmen, teachers and support staff, and of course our wonderful, wonderful doctors and nurses, But people are realizing that actually the countries cannot run without these wonderful people. So all these high-powered jobs all of a sudden are becoming insignificant in a lot of ways. Our world is being turned upside down. And in this time, there is a lot of fear and loss. We're seeing some people who are taking advantage, which is really, you know, not nice. It's very hard to see that, and to see people on top of all this fear actually being conned. And that's really hard to see, isn't it? But also we're seeing the goodness of people again. We're seeing people connecting with neighbours and family, offering their help, volunteering, offering to support people, offering to support others, giving their time and energy while trying to stay safe. I heard a story of an Italian priest who turned down a ventilator to give it to someone else so that they could live instead of him. And that kind of breaks my heart. In John 15:13, it says, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for another." And that's what he did. There was another story of a doctor. He had no faith. He was working in a hospital, and a priest was admitted again with coronavirus. And rather than stay in his bed, he would go round to the other patients in his ward, reading the Bible to encourage them and bring them the love of God, bring them hope. This doctor saw him hour after hour, and for a number of days. And he saw the hope that this priest brought to so many people, and the love that he gave in his time of need, in his time of distress. He put God first. He put the love of God first and wanted to share that with other people. Eventually, this wonderful priest does actually die, but the doctor became a believer, and he used to pray, and so many others believed as well. This man, this priest, he left a legacy. He left the love of God in so many people's hearts. Even through his sickness, even through his last days, he was building God's temple in the way that he knew. You see, God is with us all the time. He's with us through this. He says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." We read in the story of Daniel, when Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were thrown into the fire. That must have been quite scary. I know they were saying they were so strong, and no, they would not put anyone before God. They made a choice and they were thrown into the fire. But when the king looked, he saw a fourth person and he said, "It looks like a god." You know, God is always with us. He never leaves us. He's not leaving us now. When we go through difficult circumstances, it can be really, really hard to focus on God and trust in him and knowing he's got that. There's so much fear and panic at the moment. And it reminded me of the story of the Israelites when they left Egypt. Moses had led them out and they reached the Dead Sea. And we kind of hear this story and we never really think about how it must have felt. You know, they picked up everything, their belongings, their families, and they left and they reached a dead end. They reached the Red Sea and it was a dead end. And then, obviously, Moses prays, "The Lord opens the sea." And it makes me think how scary that must have been, because the Israelites actually had to walk into that dry land. Now, when we go to marinas and sea life worlds, you know, you can walk through those glass tunnels. And I must admit, I'm one of the people who walks through them and always prays that it doesn't crack. You know, it really scares me. But do you know whether the Israelites walked through the Red Sea? It was 300 feet deep. Can you imagine how high that is? I think it's something like two houses high, I think. It could be even more than that. There were no glass. This was just the sea being held back, and they had to walk through that. So we never hear that part. We never hear how it must have felt for them. You can imagine, you know, mums with carrying babies or young children. Some of those children would have been screaming, "I don't want to go in that, mummy." And others would have been curious, like we have infants who go outside and want to touch everything they see. They would have been stopping every 2 minutes and saying, "Look at the fish, mummy, look at that." And mummy trying to hurry them on. We would have seen old people who were trying to hurry and get through that. We would have seen older people, we would have seen men carrying all the provisions, we would have seen them leading all the animals. And they would have been moving forward. They would have had to have trusted, because there was no going back. And at some point, I know that there was, we hear about the pillar of fire holding back the Egyptians, but at some point, those Egyptians started coming forward, and the people at the back of that queue must have been absolutely terrified. But they had to trust in God, and they had to keep going. And now they weren't just running from the Egyptians, they were also running in case that sea came over them, because they were seeing the sea closing over the Egyptians. So they had to put all their trust in the Lord, and they had to keep going through a really, really scary time. But you know, God was with them, and they couldn't see his hands holding back the sea for them. And it was naturally scary, but he never left them. He allowed the Egyptians to follow them, but never catch them. He was with them through it all. They had to put their time and trust into the Lord. In the natural, it must have been a very terrifying thing, but they had to trust. Psalm 91 says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. I wonder how often over the last few years, how many of you, like me, have prayed sometimes and said, "Oh Lord, I am so tired. I would love some time at home with my family, with you, Lord, to read more, to concentrate, to study your Bible, to just sit in your presence." Well, guess what? We now have that time. There's no excuse. We can build the temple of God in our lives now, more than ever before. If the Lord wasn't first in your life before, he definitely can be now. This is a time where we can pray more, we can read more, we can connect with family and friends. We can use all different kinds of communication. Doesn't mean going and knocking on people's doors, but it means sharing the love of God, offering to pray with our friends and neighbours on the phone or on Skype or all these other different platforms, and offer to pray with them because people are scared. I was praying with someone the other day, and someone said to me, you know, that they haven't prayed and they have been praying. People are desperate at the moment to find hope, and we have that hope. We hold the love of God in our hand, and we can build his temple here and now. We can pray now. We can pray against this horrible virus. We can pray with our family and friends. We can pray for our governments. We can pray that as we come out of this on the other end, that our world will put God first again. We can pray for miraculous healings. And we can pray that there will be so many wonderful, amazing testimonies at the end of this, praising our Lord and saying that he has brought them through it. I've already read a number of them. I'm sure you have too. Now, Hebrews 11 says, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Remember, God loves you. You're not alone in this. His love is unconditional. It's unending. He's always faithful. He's always true. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." If you're watching this and you don't have a church, please get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to support you and pray with you through this. You are not alone. The Lord never meant for us to be alone, and we're not. I pray that you know the love of God. I pray that you experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that in this time, even in isolation in your homes, you will never feel alone. Because God says he will never forsake us, and he will never leave us. So, bless you. Let's put God first at this time. Let's use this time as a blessing, as a time to get closer to our God, a time to praise him. Let's lift the roofs off our houses with praise and prayer. Let's connect with everybody we can, not physically, but virtually on the web, however we can, by phone. But let's let them know how much our God loves them, because he is with them, and they are not alone, and neither are we. Bless you. Have a lovely week.